I interest you in a stamp?
Yeah, give me a stamp.
Oh.
No, give me a purple one.
Oh, I'm sorry we haven't any purple ones. I could paint one for you.
I don't want a painted one. Person hasn't got any rights in this country anymore. The government even tells you what color stamps you gotta buy.
Live from the Stamp Show Here Today Infotainment Complex, this is the award-winning Stamp Show Here Today. If you can dream it, we can collect it. Brought to you by the Southern Nevada Philatelic Research Center, a nonprofit 501c3 corporation for the advancement of philately. You can support this witless Tosh by joining the Stamp Show Here Today community. The cost is only $10 for a lifetime membership. We are an APS-affiliated club. Listen to the end credits for information on joining. This is Cash.
This is Mark.
This is Jim.
This is Scott.
And today we'll start off with a text from a good listener of the show. Actually, the U.S. Post Office is advising people not to use the postal collection bins that are on corners, the blue mailboxes. They're saying that there's too much theft out of them. And so they're giving you advice like only deposit the letters before the pickup times and stuff like that. And I thought that was very interesting that the U.S. Post Office is saying, hey, there's a theft problem going on with our mailboxes.
Well, yeah, you know that a lot of neighborhoods have their neighborhood boxes broken into because a lot of neighborhoods, new neighborhoods now don't have individual mailboxes on the houses. They have like community
the cluster boxes.
Cluster boxes.
Yeah. That happened to me.
And what happens is the same thing with that. Somebody will come up and when the delivery guy is there and they'll take his keys and or they'll damage the cluster box. Well, the same thing happens with the blue boxes. They mug the pickup guy and take his keys, and now they have keys to all these boxes, and they go around and steal all the mail out of the boxes.
Well, Mark, you have a story about this.
Yeah, this is years ago, probably decades now, where I had sent a payment to someone, and I'd put it in a cluster. As a matter of fact, it was a check to Brian Hunt. Do you know? I put it in the cluster box. Or the blue mailbox, and the box got broken into. My check was washed, and it was fraudulently used.
Yeah.
Well, they've been actually putting that out for over a year now, because of these thefts. And so when I mail stuff, I always walk into the post office and drop it in their slot mail slot, because that goes behind the wall and into the back room. Into a bin.
I do that also, except most of the time I drop off my mail is on my way into work. And so I'll drop it off before 10:30, and I know at 10:30 they do their first pickup. It's not their first pickup, but they do a pickup. So maximum, you know, the stuff's in the mailbox. And this is right in front of the post office.
Yeah, sometimes I'll do a drive-by too, but not very often.
But
most of the time I just pull up and walk in. It takes a little bit longer, and it's a pain in the butt. But
yeah. Me and you have the same post office.
At least you have a little bit more security on your on the mailing end.
The post office down in Green Valley there had boxes outside the door for dropping the mail, and they posted some signs on it last year. Don't use these boxes. They're being broken into, and they, you know, didn't tape them shut, but they put paper signs all over them. And I noticed, I went in there the other day, and I noticed they've got new boxes now that look more tamper-proof than the boxes they originally had there.
Well, the problem is if you mug the guy doing the pickup and you steal his keys, it doesn't matter how tamper-proof it is. You got the key.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. I just thought it was interesting that apparently they were getting vandalized even right in front of the post office. So it isn't just boxes that are out in neighborhoods.
Yeah. Well, they rob the mail trucks, too, when they're out on deliveries.
Yeah.
And that's how they get keys to all the cluster boxes.
Oh, isn't that a federal crime, though?
Absolutely is.
Oh, then it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. There's a law against it.
They should pass it. They should make another law. Well, today we are going to briefly discuss proper ways to store your certificates for stamps. Best practices for storing certificates. So, Mark, I know you have a stamp collection with a lot of revenues in it, and a lot of the revenues have certificates. Mm-hmm. How do you do it? And then I'll ask Jim and Scott and then me.
Well, in the past, I've seen where people, they'll tape like a 6x9 envelope on the front of their Scott catalog or Scott album, and they'll stuff all the certificates in that envelope. I never thought that was a great way of doing it because when I'm going through the collection, I'd like to see the certificate with the stamp. So I came up with the idea of looking for a plastic or a vinyl sleeve that I could put on the page. I guess it would be the facing page or the opposite page from the stamps on the album itself. And I found a company that made them, but they would only sell them. I think the minimum was 1,000. So I bought them. I bought 1,000 of these things, and it worked out pretty good. Except that if you put the sleeve, which is a sleeve that's open on the top, so it fills in from the top, but it's 6x9 and it's adhesive on one side. So you paste it down to the page, and the certificate fits in perfectly inside that sleeve. And at first, I put the certificate on the left page, which was blank on albums, and then the stamps were on the right. But I found that it kind of interferes, especially if you have hinges to mount. So what I do now is I buy blank pages, and I'll put the certificates on a sleeve on a blank page right in front of the page that has the stamps. Mm. So throughout my collection, I've got all these pages that have these plastic sleeves. So so I bought like 1,000 of these things, and I was selling the rest of them on eBay. And I had customers that were buying them, like 10 at a time. And I was recently contacted by a guy who says, hey, you still, and this is years ago. He says, you still have these? He says, like, perfect. And I said, no, because I found this other company that does it, and they'll sell them for, for a lot, smaller quantities, like, minimum 10. So the company is called Everyday Plastics. It's, they're on the web, and you can order on the web. And it's a vinyl sleeve with adhesive back. It's open on the short side, which they call the portrait. External dimensions 6x9. Their price is $1.35 for 0 to 24, plus shipping. And the product ID number is E as in Echo 50-0022-AB Alpha Bravo. And they work out great. I'm not sure if it's archival vinyl, but then it's a certificate. It's not like, you have to preserve it, that kind of thing. Yeah. But they worked out great. And in cases where I have lots of certificates, like in front of my Prexies, I've got almost all my Prexies are certified. So it's got a stack of like 30 certs, but it still fits in the little vinyl pocket. It just expands because it's a kind of a flexible plastic. So that's my solution for storing certificates.
How about you, Scott?
Oh, I'm next. I have decided to use a memory box, which is basically, it's like kind of like a shoe box, but it's supposed to be for, just photos and keepsakes and things like that. But I also it's probably 7x10.
Oh,
okay. So it basically, I just throw my certificates in there as I put the stamps in the album, and then I note underneath the stamp what the certificate number is. And then about once a year I go through and I'll arrange the certificates in Scott number order, and so I can see that, and then I just throw more in on top throughout the next year, and that's how I deal with it. It doesn't add any extra thickness to my album, which I like. And I also find that the the boxes are perfectly suited for number six size envelopes, first day covers, things like that. You just stand them up and you get a whole, they're perfectly sized. But you get those at Michael's for $6 when they're on sale. You get them for like $4, and or you can get them at Joanne for like $3.69 or something like that. And you may be able to get them other places, other hobby places too.
How tall are they, or how thick are they?
Well, like I said, you can stand up a first day cover and still have a little bit of room left. So
like 2.5 to 3 inches.
Yeah, there's enough room left. So if you have some oversized covers, you can just lay them down on top.
Yeah.
Or if you have some business size envelopes, you can actually put them on the side. So there's plenty of room in there for the covers.
How about you, Jim?
Well, I kind of do a combination of those two. I have a couple of albums that I've purchased that have places for the stamps, but they're not a conventional page album, so that there's they lift up in front of them. I think they're a Linder product, and so I can put the certs in behind the final page that's on the album page, and that works pretty good for that stamp collection.
I have an album like that. I put the mint stamps in the pockets, and mm-hmm. I put the used stamps. I hinge them on the. So it wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, because you're hinging them.
Because
on the back.
Because I'm putting the used stamps underneath the mint ones.
Yes. So I'm just saying that was one of the ways that I did. Then I also found a album with large. Two large envelopes or pockets on one page, 8.5 by 11 or whatever. And so the cert will fit right in there with a cover especially. But I do put stamps in there too so that I keep them together. But I also have this cardboard box philosophy where I have a cardboard box full of certificates and a couple albums full of stamps, and good luck matching them up when time comes.
Well, I do sort of the same thing that Scott does, except that I like keeping my Hingeless albums really super pristine and everything. So I know you write your numbers on the page.
It's lightly in pencil, just like anything else. You can't erase it.
I put mine on. I get a sticky note. Post-it note, and I'll cut them small, and they're yellow or orange or something like that. So not only does it not mark the pages, but also when you flip open the page, you see the sticky note there, and it's got a cert number on it. And so it sort of makes it stand out a little bit better, but I do the same thing. And then I'm going to steal your box idea, because all mine are just like binder clipped together and thrown. And so I could very easily see my stamp collection going in one direction and a binder clip full of certificates going in another direction, not to be matched up again.
Well, for each different collection, so like for my U.S. collection, I'll have a single box. So all my never hinged collection, I'll have a single box for that, and then my used collection, I'll have a different box for that, so they don't get commingled. So when I grab the album, or in this case, multiple volumes of the album, it's all in one box.
Also, a thing is, PSE certificates are thicker than PF certificates.
They are now.
Yeah,
they didn't used to be.
Yeah, we may put it on a thicker, harder to get paper that shows the embossing better, so that people couldn't fake it. We had a little, very very small little thing where people were posting on eBay manufactured certificates. Like they'd take the artwork and then they'd like. They were really, really bad because they didn't get the fonts correct or they didn't get the centering correct or anything. But now, the certificate is in a way where you really have to work really super hard to try to fake it. And it's on a different paper, which is not easy to get.
Well, another thing is Changing up the security features of the certificate is also a security feature in and of itself.
Well, yeah. But it is a thicker paper. So, you know, whereas it's probably like double. So, you know, if your collection has 50 PF certs, you know, you're for the same thickness, you're only going to get like 25 PSE certs.
Yeah, maybe 35 or 40. Yeah.
But then, you know, if you throw in the old photo certs, those are really super thick.
But those could be from any of the services. I mean,
very interesting. Oh, a interesting thing that I know I told Scott, there was a advertisement for PTS because they had their big London show. And PTS, which is a philatelic trades, and I forget what the S is.
Society?
No, it's not society. It's something else. It's a European, it's a French word, I think. But PTS, they were advertising. And you know how much PTS charge? And they advertise, you know, we charge the same on everything. It, you know, a 3 cent commemorative and a very, very rare stamp, you know, they take the same amount of time. So we're going to charge the same price. You know how much they charge as a minimum?
$75.
Yep. Actually, it's 75 euros. So it's slightly more than $75.
Well, not only that, on difficult stuff where they have to do research, they have an hourly charge.
Yeah, they charge by the hour. Yeah.
And it's like 100 or 150 euros an hour.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
It's very expensive. Very expensive. Our certs, by comparison, in America are very cheap.
Yeah. Yep. And it's not just us. If you compare it to the PF and PSA,
well, that's what I'm saying. In America,
all cheap.
We're all cheap, yeah.
We're one third of the price of Europe.
So we should all get together and raise prices? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying exactly the opposite of that.
Open up a branch office in France.
Yeah. So, Mark, what crossed your desk today or this week?
Nothing.
Nothing? Oh, okay. How about you, Jim?
Look coils.
Oh, we already discussed those.
What? Well, I thought you had a 482A.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, how did you forget that?
Yeah.
Okay. What is a 482A, first of all?
Right. So across my desk was a 482A. This is the type 1A 2 cent on imperforate, but it's usually on Shermack type 2. And it's
type 3 coil.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Type 3 perforations.
Those are the square holes.
Yeah. Rectangular.
They're rectangular holes.
And then the main difference between the type 1 and the type 1A is in the toga button and the toga rope. The button is a strengthened line around like a halo, a uniformly thick, and also the toga rope lines are also uniformly thick, definitely thicker than on the type 1. And on the type 1, they vary in thickness. I think the top line's a little bit thinner than the cross-hatching. But it's a very rare stamp. This particular one was not in good shape. It has like a little chunk missing and a big tear. But nonetheless, a very rare stamp.
And this is one that we get all the time. People saying, is this a 482A? And then you see bunches of them, and they're never it.
Right.
And this one is.
Yeah, yeah. You can have an entire box full of Shermack Type 3 2 cents that are not, all of them are not 482A.
Although my favorite story is Denny, who, you know, Denny is a person, he was on a couple podcasts a long time ago, but he found not one, but two.
One of which is the finest known.
Yes. He sold one for
$95,000.
Yeah. He found a $95,000 stamp.
But that's after how much looking?
Well, he only bought one box.
Yeah, it was a shoebox.
It was a small cigar box. It was not a big shoebox.
Oh, I thought it was a shoebox.
No, it was a small cigar box.
Oh, okay.
And he stuck it in a drawer and left it there for 20 years before he got around to looking.
And one bored day, he's going through it.
And he finds two of them.
Well, he found one that was the nicest one ever. And like Scott said, it was sold for $95,000. And then he found a beat-up one. But the beat-up one, he still got like $15,000 for.
Something like that. Yeah. But, I mean, payday.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's cool to actually see one get found, because this didn't have a prior cert or anything on it. This was a discovery.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, they're out there. You got to look, though.
Yeah, for a long time.
Isn't there a little bit of different shade on that one, too?
Yes. First, you want to rule out a bunch of the chaff, let's say, by getting rid of the shade. But it's not going to... It's, you know, maybe you'll get rid of, you know, half of it, which still leaves you a mountain of stamps to look at.
Yeah.
So, Scott, what crossed your desk?
Well, I have a very, very interesting item. And how it crossed my desk is... I was goofing around on eBay, and it arrived today. It's a small coin purse. It's silver, and it is from the Louisiana Purchase Exposition in St. Louis in 1904. And the front and back covers are set up to look like a small envelope with a stamp and a cancel on it, and it says Louisiana Purchase Expedition St. Louis as the address, and it's really kind of cute. It's a coin purse, and never seen one before, and I thought it was a really cool exposition item to add to my collection, so I decided to make it cross my desk by buying it.
And how much did this set you back?
I think it was around $60 or $70.
Oh, that's cheap.
And it's silver, so
that's cheap.
It's probably got that much silver in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was worried that I wasn't going to get it, so I think my maximum bid was about $200 and some.
Yeah,
because I really wanted it. And but fortunately, the underbidder didn't step up. So
it's kind of thick for exhibiting.
Yeah, it's thick for exhibiting. But I'll tell you what, it makes a great auxiliary item. And I love exposition items anyway. And I've got stuff from the Columbian Exposition, St. Louis, Pan Pacific, Pan American. I've got stuff from all the exhibitions. But I was talking to my good friend Marcel from the Netherlands a couple of weeks ago, and he just kind of poked that little spot that I find exposition stuff interesting. So I was bored. I looked on eBay, spent a half an hour looking on eBay and found this. So
yeah, so it's good to be with, you know, a fellow exhibitionist.
Well, you know, he's from the Netherlands. That doesn't count. They do that over there all the time.
Well, what crossed my desk was a cover, and I'm going to describe it because holding it up to the microphone doesn't do any good. But it's a cover. It has a 1 cent 1857-ish stamp. And then over on the side, it says due, and it's got a 5 cent 1857-ish stamp. And what is remarkable about this, in my opinion, is that it's all fake.
It's not all fake.
Well,
it's a real envelope.
You're correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's got a bunch of water damage on the side, and the address is sort of blurred out. Somebody had soaked the prior stamp off it, and then put these two stamps on. But the one stamp, it's a 1 cent 1857 with Benjamin Franklin looking to
206, I think.
It's a 23-ish sort
of. No, it's like a 24 design, but yeah, it's not a 24. But anyway.
But it's one thing that's interesting, because I see a lot of these fake stamps sold on eBay. And there are a couple of places where you can get, you know, a Zep set, you know, for like $6. or the Colombians is the one that I always see. And, you know, when it first came out, they were selling them for like $50, and now you can buy them for like $15. But they didn't have good perforations. They just had sort of like pin perfs, you know, like really fake-looking perfs. I mean, it's a fake stamp, but these right here actually have nice-looking perfs. They've upped their quality level. The funny thing is that the 5-cent stamp that paid the finger quotes due is actually real. It's a proof.
Yeah, it was a proof they had.
And
it looks like they... It looks like a card proof. Looks like they shaved it down to make it a little thinner, and then they stuck it on, put perforations on it and stuck it on. But that's a real stamp, and it, you know, is not, it's not inexpensive. It's not expensive, but it's not inexpensive. I mean, you're talking probably $80 or $100.
$80 or $100 is a fair amount of money.
Yeah.
And like I see, the margins are big enough where it was probably a nice size proof.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even if you got it cheap, you'd probably still be paying $50 for it. But they put a $50 stamp, then they faked it all up. And this was done recently. This is not something that was done, you know,
well, that's because the
50
one cent
years
came
ago.
Out of a some sort of printer. And it,
right.
It,
and we know that they've been doing this for about 15 years.
They
tops.
Printed it. They cut it out. They perforated it.
Yeah.
And then they stuck it on the envelope.
On a real envelope.
On a real envelope with a real cancel that did not tie the stamp.
Right. And so now it's the 1 cent stamp has due on it, which it's they never use that due cancel. And it's got a little Target cancel on it. It's got a real Pennsylvania cancel. And then the 5-center, which... this isn't how they did do either. They didn't like put a 5-cent stamp on it saying do. They do something different. And it's tied by some weird little grid cancel and stuff. I'm going to put this on Twitter. Take a look at it. It's an interesting fake. And so that's what crossed my desk.
So it's a real cover that was probably very dull that they dressed up now with two fake stamps.
No, one fake stamp.
One fake stamp, one
manufactured...
one manufactured proof, yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought this was incredibly interesting. Anybody else have anything?
Well, that's what crossed our desk. What about them?
Well, he talked about his...
What crossed your desk?
482A.
What crossed your desk, Jim?
I said the look...
That's right. We already talked about that.
We've already talked about that, so... we could talk about something else. I had a interesting number 17.
Or we can just submitted. End the podcast right here and save everybody the trouble.
Goodbye, everybody.
We need your help. Nothing on the internet is free, including our phone and internet connections. So you can support the podcast by joining the Stamp Show Here Today Club. The cost is $10 for a lifetime membership. Please include your APS member number, as we are an APS-affiliated club. Your support is greatly appreciated. Our brand new spanking address is 5965 Harrison Drive, Suite 6 in Las Vegas, Nevada, 89120.
You left out the word glorious.
Fabulous.
Because you don't put that on the letter.
Oh. Well, you could.
You could, yeah.
You could, yeah.
Well, kids, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Sideshow Mel, Corporal Punishment, Gina Ballerina, Owen from Knots Landing, Miss Donna Mills. Oh, she was a sport. We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this still clown was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time!
Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.